satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of thing the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here with Tommaso Bonvissuto.
Yes, sir. Here we are.
Tom, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Not Bon Bon, Tom.
I get it all.
You get it all. You get it all. You deserve it all, Tom. And anyway, we're here tonight on an open show.
Yes,
that means
sir.
Our listeners get to be our guests tonight. Last week, we had a great guest in Cal Turner Jr.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about his company that he and his grandfather actually founded. His father then took it to the next step. And then the son took it as a public company to an amazing place
mm-hmm.
and stepped down in 2000. A great interview, great discussion with him. He was a truly humble man considering how much he has made in his lifetime. But anyway, tonight, though, we're on an open show. We're just going to talk about the topics that our listeners feel are important. Whatever they want to talk about is what we're going to talk about. So if you want to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question on anything on personal finances, that's what a professional financial advisor should do. If you think you have a financial advisor and they cannot deal with everything dealing with your personal finances, be it estate planning or income taxes, comprehensive, sophisticated, complicated tax and estate planning questions, or review your insurances without trying to sell you insurance, or look at your mortgages, your retirement planning in a comprehensive manner, looking at your college planning without trying to sell you products, you probably do not have a professional financial advisor in our opinion. That's
right.
Our opinion. We believe that a financial advisor should be comprehensive in knowledge, should be independent, should be fee-only, should act as a fiduciary at all times in your best interest and not take commissions or referral fees for advice that's rendered to the client so that you minimize conflicts of interest as best as possible. That's what we try to demonstrate on this show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And tonight is your chance to call in and ask any question you want. And doesn't matter on the topic. This morning we were talking about enhanced uninsured motorist or underinsured motorist coverage. And if you want to, you know, more clarification on that, we'd be more than happy to do it. Or if you have other topics you want to talk about. So security always is a big topic that we get into. Investments. If you want to talk investments, we're more than happy to talk investments. Tom is the chief investment officer of our company. So, you know, we're loaded for bear, I guess, as they say, to talk
about
investments if you want to. But we'll start with Steve, who's on the line, if you want to call in, because he's the only one on the line right now, 410-922-6680. Early people call in, get the most time.
Right.
So let's go to Steve. Steve, how can we help you?
Okay, guys. I got two related questions here. 6 weeks ago, after a long illness, my mother passed away, and not a surprise. We had time to work things out. Now, she left me about $500,000 in stocks and mutual funds, and she had some cash in an account, too.
Okay.
Now, so the question is, it was all in a revocable trust. Now she's passed away, so that makes it an irrevocable trust, right? And I'm one of two beneficiaries, and I'm the sole trustee. So I'm the sole trustee, and then it's me and a charity she wanted to give to, divided up equal.
Okay.
And the charity. So that's it. It doesn't seem too complicated. Now, for the question, since she passed away, two questions. Since she passed away, the monies in it have, you know, made a little bit of money in it. There have been some dividends paid out and all that. Now, since she passed away, so my understanding is I got to do a 1041 by next year, and then those earnings, I got to report on that 1041, right? The earnings since she passed away.
That is correct. So far, you're spot on, Stephen, and you're going to report that to yourself only as on a K-1. You can report it also to the charity, but it's a K-1 to you.
Okay, now, Now, so some of those stocks spun off like shares that were reinvested. And now, see, I have not distributed it yet, but I'm, you know, kind of in the process. You know, 50-50 me and the charity, just when it's all said and done. But I don't have to split each stock 50-50. It's just a total estate.
You just have to get, you have to get the charity to agree. If you don't do it in actual cash 50-50, you just got to get the charity to agree that if I take this and you take that, are we both in agreement that you got your 50%? They sign off on that. You're fine.
Now, so if the stocks that have been, you know, they were issued as dividend, I guess, and then if those are reinvested immediately right in,
still taxable.
That goes as a gain that I have to report on that 10-4.
Still taxable. Doesn't matter if you reinvest it or not. Still fully taxable.
Dividend income.
Yeah, right. Dividend income. Fully taxable.
Okay. So now the other part of this is, so when I, you know, come to distribute everything, and I want to do it this year, so everything, you know, gets, you know, I don't have to drag this into another year, right? So I'm going to finish it all up. Now, at a certain point, I got to make it all 50-50 with the charity, but then I got to pay some income tax, what you're saying, on the 1041, like next March or April.
No, I mean, yes and no, and that's a tricky question there. It gets, you know, what you're asking is very tricky, and it's not going to...
I got some money, right?
Not necessarily. I mean, yes and no. The income is distributed to the shareholders. I mean, I'm sorry, to the heirs. So in other words, let's say you make $10,000 of income. Let's just use that number. So what happens is that $10,000 on a K-1 says, Steve, you report $5,000 of it. Charity, you report $5,000 of it. And so the income tax goes off to the heir, not to the estate necessarily. Now, it gets complicated because it could be paid taxable to the estate. You could let the estate pay the taxes. But that would be an unusual situation, and the charity might balk at that scenario also.
I guess not quite understanding, but maybe
it gets complicated
because. One more time? Can you run that?
So it gets complicated in an irrevocable trust or an estate in your situation. And keep in mind, Steve, you have to have gone out and get a new tax ID number for that revocable trust.
Got that.
Okay.
Got that too, sir.
In an irrevocable trust or an estate, the income can either be distributed and taxed to the beneficiaries, or it can be retained and paid on tax at the estate rate, which is significantly higher than the individual rates. And if I were the charity, I'd balk at that. I'd say, no, distribute the income because my income's tax-free. You take and you get your income, you pay taxes on your income. And it's not a lot of money that I think you're going to pay taxes on, so I would just distribute it, and there's no tax to the estate. There's only tax to, you know, each of you individually on your return. Now, I will say this. Your mother has to file a final income tax return, and she has to make sure that she's paid all her taxes before you distribute that revocable trust out. So you better make sure you've got that covered before you distribute all of it out also. You got to hold on with me if you want to ask any more questions, because I got to take a pause, and I'll be right back with you, okay?
Oh, you got you, sir.
All right. Yeah, hold on there. He's got it. There you go. Thank you, Chris. Take it away, traffic. All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth, and we're with Stephen Glenn Burney just for a little while longer. And also, if you want to get online, because we're on the open show today, and Paul has called in. But you plenty of room to call in, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, to direct the conversation in your direction. But let's finish up with Steve here. Steve, first thing is, I hope that you don't even consider trying to do this tax return with anything like TurboTax or something, because there's a lot of tax planning that goes on when somebody has passed away. There's a lot of maneuvers you can make in this situation, and you need to know what the options are. And like one of them I said, you can retain the income in the estate, pay taxes on it. You could distribute the income out to the beneficiaries. But not knowing all the assets that mom left doesn't give me the full picture. The other thing is that I would strongly encourage you to consider is to distribute a large portion of the money. Let's say you have $500,000. So let's say you would distribute $480,000. You keep $20,000 just in case you have to pay extra income taxes for mom or you have to pay lawyers or accountants for anything. And then that $20,000 might have to carry over into 2019, but it's going to generate such little income. You're going to just put it in a money market at, you know, getting like 1.5% to 2% right now. But it'll, you know, it'll get you some interest while the money's sitting there, but it's not going to cause any real tax issues next year. And you'll file a second 1041 next year. But keep in mind, when did you say mom died?
6 weeks ago.
Six weeks ago. So here's the thing. One of the cool things you can do with a irrevocable trust like this is you can claim that the income that has been generated since mom had died, you can close the revocable trust, the irrevocable trust now, right? You can close it in like June of 2019 and then transfer all the income that's been made in these next 6 months or 4 months. You can transfer all the income to 2019. You won't even have to pay income taxes on it until you close the trust next year and then report that income on your 2019 return, your 2000, even though it may have been earned in 2018. So that's a cool thing you need to know, and that's why I'm saying get yourself a good CPA, a good tax guy that can help you with this. Do not try to do this yourself just from this simple phone call, especially with us. We're just giving you some guidance here, all right?
Wow, wonderful, because she's going to owe some taxes on the first part of the year before she passed away.
Well, that's fine. That's just get down, so sit down.
You're right. I got to hold something back, right?
Yeah, you got to hold something back. Mm-hmm. Sit down with a good tax guy and figure out what that might be. And then hold a bunch back and, you know, take the rest of it. And, you know, this should work out to your benefit, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, my friend?
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank
All right. Take care.
All right.
I can't hang up on him. Can you do that for me, Chris? All right. I appreciate it. I'm going to Paul in Ferndale. Paul, how can we help you?
Yes, good evening. Thank you, guys, service. I enjoy your show.
Good.
You're welcome.
Are you on a speakerphone, Paul?
No. The last gentleman asked me that.
Okay.
If it's a problem, I could probably call back up with another
No, line. No, no, no. Go ahead. Yeah. I can hear you. I just it sounds like you're on a speakerphone, but that's okay. Ask your question.
Okay. I would like. I'm actually 58 years old, born 1960. I have a 401k profit sharing plan at work.
Okay.
It's Vanguard.
Okay.
If I was to retire at 62.
Okay.
Am I allowed to cash out 100% of that 401k?
You'd be crazy to do it, but yes, you can
do it. I'm just curious, is it possible to do that?
It is completely possible if you don't mind paying $150,000 of taxes or whatever it would come up to.
Depending how big it is.
Would it be a penalty or?
There would be no penalty because you're over 59 and a half. As soon as you're over 59 and a half, and especially when you sever service, you're able to take out that whole account. Now, let me just ask you a quick question. What company did you work for, and do you have company stock in that 401k plan?
No, it's not company stock.
There's no company stock. It's just mutual funds, all with Vanguard or something of that sort.
Yes.
Okay.
And the employer contributes 50%, 50 cents to the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Depending on sales.
Okay. So in that situation, Paul, when you turn 59, when you turn 62, I think you said, right?
Yes, sir.
When you turn 62, you leave the company, you can either roll it to an IRA and defer all the taxation for as long as you want, or you can cash in as much of it as you want, and you're going to just have to pay taxes on it depending on how much gross income you have that year.
Okay.
Yeah, and to clarify that, you can defer that income tax until you're 70 and a half when they require you to take out a small percentage, about 3.7% of the balance. But there's you know, unless you really had a need, we'd probably strongly advise against liquidating the whole thing and paying the tax bill.
Right.
What's the general what's the general balance? Is it 100 or more, or 200 or more?
No, it's about $50,000.
$50,000. Okay, mm-hmm. So if you made $50,000 before you retire, you'd have to report $100,000. You'd probably lose $25,000 of that $100,000 in taxes.
Well.
Yeah, it'll
be retiring at 62 with Social Security. What the percentage of that would I get?
At 62, you'll get 72%, let me think, 8% a year discount. He'd have to 4 year. He'd actually have a 5 year discount, wouldn't he? He'd actually lose 40% of his full retirement. So whatever you're going to get at, let's say you're going to get $2,000 a month at age 67, which is your full retirement age, right? Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
67. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's say you're going to get $2,000 a month at 67. You'd probably take a 40% discount on your $2,000. So you would end up with about $1,200 a month instead of $2,000 a month if you took it at 62. So we'd strongly recommend you wait until 67 to draw your Social Security if you can afford to wait.
Right. The reason I'm asking these questions, my son and I were thinking about, I'm working 65, 70 hours a week now, and the company's continuing to grow, and I'm just burning out. I really am.
And no, it happens.
About getting maybe a landscaping and a car detailing business and doing that.
Well, do you own a home?
No, sir.
No?
No credit cards, no bills, no debt whatsoever.
But you'll have this $250,000 from mom that's pretty much tax-free, if I'm hearing you correctly. I'm assuming that money that mom's leaving you wasn't in an IRA or an annuity or anything of that sort, was it?
No. My mother's not leaving me anything.
That was the last.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm still on the other person. Wow. You know, where's my mind at?
I'm passed on.
He's making you rich here. But,
yeah. That was Steve.
Yeah, but Paul,
Steve.
So you say you say you had no debt, but you have no home either? You don't own a home?
No, sir.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, there's a variety of things to consider if you're looking to start a business, but liquidating your 401k balance to invest or to invest in that business may not be the best choice for tax purposes. There may be other ways that are more beneficial for you to do that.
Okay, all right, Paul.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
All right, Paul.
You take care.
There you go.
Have a good evening.
We got to take another pause for traffic, and maybe I'll get my mind straight between now and then. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you and your family can trust and count on for the rest of your life? The Financial Consulate, being fee only, is unable to take commissions or referral fees. We are independent of stockbrokers and insurance companies and work solely as a fiduciary in your best interest. These are the key ingredients of a professional financial advisor. If you've been wanting a second opinion, then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your financial physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE, or go online to financialphysical.com to learn more. That is financialphysical.com.
So, hey, I named an artist. That's Harrison Bombasuto.
There you go. All right, we're here at Money, Riches, Wealth. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call and ask a question, we still have half a show. We got Darlene on the line. We're going to go to Darlene in 1 second. If you want to call in, 410-922-6680. You get to direct the conversation today, and we're going to Darlene in White Marsh. Darlene, how can we help you?
Hi, Drew. Yeah, I'm a widow, and I just turned 60 this year.
Okay.
Last year, actually, the end of last year. And do I understand that I can draw my husband's Social Security at this time?
Yeah, if you want to. Now, are you working, Darlene?
Yes, I am.
How much do you make a year, approximately? 10, 20, 50, 100?
I'm gonna say 60.
60. So the problem is going to be is you can draw your husband's Social Security, and that's called the survivor's benefit. But because you're under your full retirement age, which is approximately 66 and 6 months or 66 and 8 months, they will take $1 for every $2 you earn over $17,200 away. So therefore, if you're making 60, they're going to probably take 100% of what you make away, and they won't even let you apply for Social Security right now as a survivor. you're going to have to wait until the day you either retire from your work or when you hit your full retirement age at 67. Now, who made more money, you or him?
Right now, it's still him.
Okay, so his Social Security was larger than yours, but it wasn't larger by a lot, was it?
No, I guess not, no.
Well, see, what I'm suggesting is that you would claim his Social Security when you either retire or you hit 66 and 8 months years of age, or actually in the year you turn 66, what year is that going to be? Another 6 years from now, like 2024, 23?
Mm-hmm.
23.
Yes.
Yeah. So in 2023, in January of 2023, you could go in and claim Social Security against your husband because there's different rules in the year. You turn your full retirement age, you can earn up to like $45,000 that year, and they're only going to take one for $3 if you overmake, and you're only going to overmake by $45,000 by a little. And even if you do, they're only going to take $1 for every $3 away. You let your Social Security continue to grow until you're 70. Then you're going to go back into Social Security and say, I want you to recompute and see if my own benefit is now more than what I'm getting from my husband. So it's a little sophisticated strategy. You have to really think it out and make sure you get good advice on this.
I didn't want to pull his yet because it's not needed, but I didn't want to...
You didn't want to lose it if you could get it, right?
Exactly.
But you see, when do you expect to leave work for good?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to say a good 7-8 years.
So then what you do, Darlene, is you wait until the year you're going to turn 66. And in January of 66, the year you turn 66 years of age, you're going to go in and you're going to claim your husband's Social Security. And then you would hurt yourself if you don't do it then. And you have to assess the laws at that time. But if the laws that are appropriate now are appropriate then, you're going to go and claim that year in January, not when you turn 66, but in the year you're going to turn 60, actually, she has to wait until the year she turns 66 and
in
eight months,
which will actually be
the year
24.
After.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so when you turn 66 and 8 months, you're going to go in and claim your survivor's benefits, and then when you're 70, you're going to go back and get your own benefits. And if you don't do that, you would hurt yourself financially.
Okay.
All right?
Well,
I hope that's helpful
you.
To you.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Thanks a lot.
All right. You take care. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes these things get a little sophisticated, and it's hard to do it in 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah,
you got to
know a lot of other things.
You got to know a lot of things. So I hope she seeks really good fee-only advice from people to guide her on that.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to call in 410-922-6680, we're on an open show tonight. John in Perry Hall, how can we help you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for your show. It's really good. I like all the information.
Oh, you're welcome.
Let's just say, what do you guys think of this? I'm 37. I work in law enforcement, so I can retire early. And right now, I have a Roth IRA, and at work, I have a deferred comp, which is the 457B. And as soon as they offered the Roth, I got into the Roth.
The Roth 457B.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
My goal is to retire in my early 50s. And I know you can't take the money without a tax penalty until you're 59 and a half.
That's not true in a 457B.
Oh, right. You can take what you put in. You can't take the profit.
No. In a 457B, you can take the entire account after you retire without penalty.
Okay. Would you say in my situation, I'm single, let's say it's around $70,000 salary, I put my money in the Roth 457B because I don't want to have to pay the taxes when I retire because I'll have my pension.
For the most part, I would say you're absolutely right, okay? But one thing you always have to be wary of is every year you have to analyze your tax return and say, where are the government breakpoints here? Where is, if I did this and I could drop my income down to this, would it benefit me? Is there anything like that? There are a lot of these out there lurking to hurt you, John. And you can make $1 too much, and all of a sudden, boom, it costs you $1,000 or $2,000. You didn't even know it. But if you knew it, you would say, well, maybe I ought to do $3,000 of my income pre-tax and do the rest Roth, because I know that $3,000 is going to pick up $1,000 or $2,000 in income tax savings because I'm going to hit this break point. So without looking at your tax return every year or having a thoughtful eye thinking of these break points, I just want to warn you of that. I'm not saying your decision right now, top of my mind, not knowing anything else, the Roth is the way to go.
Yep.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
I do too.
Just be careful you don't miss a break point.
You're saying, like, down the road my salary gets higher, I might be in a different bracket, so it would be beneficial to take...
No. Don't worry about brackets. People misunderstand what a bracket is, so...
It's after you retire that we're concerned.
It's even during your retirement, because you don't have any children, right? You're single?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but let's say you did get married, and let's say you and your wife together made $150,000. Well, that's a big break point in the state of Maryland.
Right.
If you didn't know that, if you dropped your income below $150,000, it would help you tremendously. Or let's say your income grew, and, you know, all of a sudden you're going to miss some kind of tax credit that you could get for your kids going to college or something like that. There are a lot of these weird things out there that a lot of people are not familiar with. My point is, understand the tax laws, understand the breakpoints. If you email my office to Robert Lindstrom, R. Lindstrom, L-I-N-D-S-T-R-U-M, S-T-R-O-M, Lindstrom. I got it. Lindstrom at financialconsulate.com. An easy way to do this, John, is just email drew@drewtig.com. We'll send you our breakpoint, income breakpoints that we use just to remind us, hey, there's a breakpoint here, there's a breakpoint here, and see if any of them apply to you. And if they do, just be careful.
Yep.
That's all I'm saying.
But you're on the right path. Yeah.
Okay. I appreciate that. So when I email you, ask for an income breakpoint?
Yeah, you just email me and say, according, you know, just let me know if Roth's the way to go with that breakpoint thing, you know, that you mentioned. Drew@DrewTig, that's T as in Tom, IG.com, okay?
Okay, cool.
All right, buddy, good. Thank you, and thanks for your service. What government or state?
Local government.
Local government. Well, thank you for your service, my friend.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. You guys take care.
Take care. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we got to take another pause. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, we do have John on the line. We'll be with you right after this pause. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your financial physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE, or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. And we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. No, I know this song, actually. No, I do know it. Santana. You know I was right.
Stones back.
What's the difference? Rolling Stones, Santana? What's the difference? Come on. Give me some credit here, Chris. Anyway, we're on an open show today, 410-922-6680. You know what the funny part of it is? Probably a lot of our listeners think that I'm just joking. I'm doing this funny, you know, but it's the truth. It's the honest truth. I have no idea music and things like that. That was an honest, fair guess, Santana, and you humiliated me on the air telling me that it was Rolling Stones. But that's okay.
Well, it wasn't intentional.
It wasn't intentional. No, it wasn't intentional, but it was well done. Anyway, we're here on an open show. We do have probably time for one more call if you wanted to call in. We don't have anybody online. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680 if you wanted to call in and ask a question. Now, back to that question that John had.
Uh-huh.
John, that was an excellent question because that 457B is a really cool feature.
Mm-hmm.
If you're working for a government or a not-for-profit mm-hmm. Organization like a police force or which would be government or a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of other universities that can possibly have 457Bs or 457Fs and so forth. But let's just stick with the government type, which he had, 457B.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the neat thing about it is he can separate from service, mm-hmm. and all he has to do is he pays no penalty, even if he's 48 or 50 years of age. He's well before 59F, but as long as you separate from service on a 457B, you can start taking your money out and pay tax on it, but no penalty, okay? Now, with the Roth, I think I misquoted. I think I misdirected mm-hmm. him and said mm-hmm. that the Roth would be tax-free if he separates from service. Only his contributions would come back tax-free.
Mm-hmm.
If he took any more, he'd pay tax on the earnings, but he wouldn't owe a penalty on it, just like in the pre-tax. He'd have to wait until he's 59 and a half, unless he could prove that he's fully disabled. Then he would be able to get it tax-free also.
Right, and he has to start early enough, which he has, and he's planning on retiring 13 years, so he have a five-year start period. There's this five-year window.
Yeah. So here's the cool thing that, you know, all of our listeners should know. In a 401k,
mm-hmm.
in a 401k, if you're working for somebody in a 401k,
mm-hmm.
and you leave employment with them, and let's just deal with people who aren't 55 years of age. 55 is much more. Is a critical age.
Magical date.
It's a magical date. And so let's say you're under 55 years of age. The general rule is to roll your pre-tax 401k to your new pre-tax 401k. Roll your Roth 401k always to an IRA.
Yep.
Now, hear me. Never, ever roll your Roth to a new Roth 401k when you leave an old Roth employer. Now, I'm sure there's an exception to that rule, but I haven't found it yet.
Right.
I'm sure I could. Now, I could give you one right now that I just thought about. I'm being sued.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a lawsuit.
Better protect yourself.
And you want the maximum protection. You probably are best to stay in the 401k.
Right.
Now, a lot of states like Maryland give you pretty good protection for your Roth IRA, but I wouldn't bank on that over ERISA law. I'd stay in the 401k plan. But that's such a rare situation.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, when you leave an employer and you have a Roth 401k, it should be rolled to a Roth IRA, never to the new employer's 401k Roth plan.
Because
the IRA is far more favorable. You can always withdraw your contributions out of an IRA.
Mm-hmm.
You can never withdraw them out of the 401k at a new employer. Under most circumstances, they don't allow you to withdraw your contributions
mm-hmm.
out. Now, there are exceptions to that. There are exceptions to that in some plans, but it's very rare you're
mm-hmm.
going to see it before 59 and a half years of age.
Right. Plus, many people are working into their 70s.
Many people are working into your 70s, and the pre-tax account will be no required minimum distributions. It'll also open you up to do what's called the two-step Roth IRA
mm-hmm.
contribution
mm-hmm.
if you have high income. There's exceptions to some of these things, but these are the good general rules that you should be thinking
mm-hmm.
about. And unless you want maximum investment potential, so you want to buy
options.
You want to buy
mm-hmm.
options, you want to buy Apple stock and
mm-hmm.
whatever the case may be, and your employer's not going to let you do that in their 401k, then you have no choice maybe but to go to IRA.
Yep.
But you need to think of these tax things, and you're not getting the advice from brokers and insurance agents who want you to roll it over into their IRAs and their annuities because there's an economic bias there.
Right.
That's my point. The point is that, you know, I don't always like the idea that we give clients the best fiduciary advice we can.
Right, costs
because
us money.
It costs us money, but it's the right thing to do when you're a fiduciary.
Mm-hmm.
And in the long run, it comes out in tremendous benefits to you and the firm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I just wish this industry would change,
mm-hmm,
and become completely a fiduciary-based industry where you, like a doctor, mm-hmm, like a lawyer, like a CPA, you couldn't even begin to think of giving advice unless you knew that it was completely in the client's best interest. You had analyzed every conflict of interest with the client to show them that you are only making a decision in their best interest, and a lawyer could rip you to shreds if you don't,
right,
give them fiduciary advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you've got it, like you said, Drew, it's the comprehensive advice that fee-only advisors and folks like us are trying to do with clients to look at their whole situation, their taxes, their estate, you know, what are their goals? And, you know, have to figure all of those pieces out in order to figure out what the best choices are. And it's not always in our favor, the best choice.
No, it's not. Quite often we're taking large hunks of money and we're saying, you got to roll this into your company 401k,
mm-hmm,
plan. You got to,
mm-hmm,
roll this into your 403b there. You got to do this. You got to do that. And I don't like the idea, but it's what is in the best interest of the client.
Right.
And we just had this with a client recently where we told the client, go to your 401k provider,
mm-hmm,
and move this money in from your old government TSP plan,
mm-hmm,
into your new 401k.
Right.
This is, you know, if you want to do this, this is what you should do.
Mm-hmm.
He went to the 401k provider. He told him, I want to do this. Well, the 401k provider happened to be a stock brokerage firm. The stock broker took them and sold them into C shares under an IRA, claiming that it was in his best interest because he had all this figured out and he'd been,
mm-hmm,
better and,
mm-hmm,
so forth. Well, the difference was the IRA he sold them into had a 1.76% expense ratio.
Right.
The 401k had a 0.42% expense ratio.
Right.
And the broker tried to explain it in a way of saying that it was a better investment. Well, we analyzed the investments for the clients, too,
right,
and it proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that none of the funds he had recommended fell in any kind of fiduciary model,
right,
of saying that these were in the best interest of the client.
Yeah.
And ultimately, the brokerage firm liquidated the investments and put them into the 401k without penalty because they knew we had them over a barrel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And unfortunately, we see that too often.
Unfortunately, too often. So anyway, we're finished for tonight. Can't take any more calls. We only have 10 seconds left.
And you got a guest next week in studio here. We've got Eli Knopf from Frost & Associates, International Tax.
Well, it's International Tax, but we're
going
to be
that.
Talking about some really interesting concepts about people who can get themselves in serious tax trouble and how a tax attorney can help them get out of it.
Yeah.
And it's not just international tax.
Right.
It's anything. Big tax problems. I'm,
mm-hmm,
talking about $50,000 or more owed,
right,
to the IRS.
Yep.
It's going to be fascinating,
mm-hmm,
next week.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.